News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 27th of February, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people. You're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, and stuff we can use. In the second hour, we're going to have some very, very, very special guests. I'm very honored. We're going to have Stephanie Aldersley and Justin Wilcox from the Monroe County Legislature here to talk about an exciting new initiative that they have on the table at the moment. And so we'll be getting to them in the second half of the show. But first, we're going to do all the other cool stuff that we do, starting with the news. And we'll start with Steve, since he's the only one of the three of us who's actually ready.
Almost. We had some very exciting news in the Apple world this week. Apple revised the iPods. We now have the second generation iPod Mini in new colors. They went to a more vivid color of pink, green, and blue instead of the more pastel colors they had last year. And they also dropped to the gold color. Apparently gold wasn't selling very well. The biggest news is they now start at $199 for the 4-gig iPod Mini. And
the Shuffle, you mean?
No. The Mini is now $199.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Shuffle starts
at... Oh, it's $99.
It's $99, right. They also...
Do we not count that as an iPod anymore?
Well, that's an iPod Shuffle. This is the iPod Mini.
You said the iPod start at $199.
The iPod Mini starts at $199.
Okay.
Sorry. And that's for the 4-gig model. The really exciting bit is they came out with a 6-gig model at $250. Which was the price of the old 4-gig model. The 6-gig drive is brand new on the market. Most of the other hard drive based MP3 players at that range were going to the 5-gig hard drive. So it's really interesting that Apple was able to procure enough of the 6 gigs to make a new product. So that's available in silver, green, pink, and blue. And then the older 1-gig models are now available for $199. They also did a couple of changes in the photo line. They discontinued the 40-gig photo, dropped the price $150, and created a 30-gig model for now $350, color screen, photo capability. And the 60-gig model is now $450. So one of the annoyances that we're running into now in the Mac market, as common in many markets, is that for $50 more, you get the next better thing. So the iPod Shuffle starts at $99 for about 100 and so songs. For $50 more, you get the 1-gig model. For $50 more, you get the 4-gig mini. For $50 more, you get the 6-gig mini. For $50 more, you get the 20-gig, and so on and so on. So it's a little bit of an annoyance for our customers that purchased minis last week at $250, and now the price for the same model is $199.
Right, it's the way it always goes.
That's the way it always is, yeah. So it's... What Jobs is saying is that $199 seems to be a magic price point, and actually we've sold a ton of them at $199.
There you go, then.
So it's going to be interesting to see how things go. We're expecting an 80-gig iPod photo coming out sometime this year. Toshiba and Hitachi, who make the 1-inch hard drive, the 1.8-inch hard drive in the full-size photo, have announced production of an 80-gig model. So that's fueling more rumors again about the 80-gig iPod photo that might be able to do video as well. The big problem with having video is copyright issues. It's okay with video you take yourself, but commercial video, you need the right decoders and the right licenses to play video on a portable device. So it's a progressing industry that we'll see how far it gets progressed.
Sounds like a very exciting time. And, of course, our poll actually has a little something to do with iPods, too, so we'll take a look at that a little later as well. But we'll go to Dave for the hardware news.
Okay, let's see. The Centron folks, the folks at Intel that make the Centron chip.
The Centrinos?
Centrinos are literally having problems keeping up with demand.
Well, duh.
I've noticed this lately. I have gone through so many laptop hard drives.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, folks want bigger ones and everything else, you know, the 80s and the 100s.
Yeah, 80 is now small these days.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody wants the...
Yeah, I was reading an article that says, oh, you can install this on a 6-gig hard drive and still have plenty of room left over. Sure, if I could find a 6-gig hard drive.
No, I think about the smallest we can get a hold of is like a 20.
Yeah, right.
Even those are rough. 40 is, you know, and 40 is $10 more, so you might as well.
Yeah, 40s are normally what I stock, and I can get the 80s and the 100s. But anyways, Intel is saying that they're just, you know, because of the demand, everybody, which is all tying into our guest later on, want to do this wireless technology. You know, more and more places are offering, you know, the cafes and even car dealers are offering that, oh, you got to come and have a repair done on your car. You can surf the internet on our wireless network.
Right.
So it's becoming very popular. So, you know, they're going to hopefully ramp that up a little bit.
And more companies are starting to make drives now. Fujitsu is starting to work in the 1.8-inch drive, so there's more vendors to choose from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're slowly getting into it because they're seeing the demand. AMD, on the other side of the chip world, though, is going to come out with a dual-core processor.
For the Opteron.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
It's not meant for the high-end. It's literally going to be for the lower-end consumers. Dual-core processors contain two processor cores on a single piece of silicon, giving desktop and mobile PCs improved multitasking and multimedia capabilities compared to the PC based on a single-core processor. To kind of put it into a nutshell.
Because they're sort of hit a roadblock about how fast they can make processors with any greater speed improvement. So two processors in is...
They're not coming out. They've already announced. Both AMD and Intel have both said, you know, you won't see any new chip technology. In other words, whether they label it the Pentium 5 or whatever, until next year. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So that's where the software end of the folks and some of these other motherboard manufacturers can maybe add other features to the existing motherboards to kind of beef things up. One sad news, Dell has also said that they're not going to tie in with AMD.
Big mistake.
They were thinking of doing servers and everything else based on the AMD chip, but the new CEO there has all of a sudden got a bug up his butt and said, ain't going to happen, and that's sad because the AMD chips can, at most times, outperform, especially the Athlon 64s, the Intel chips.
I love the Athlon 64. You run a 64-bit operating system on it, like Linux, and it flies.
Yeah, it's, you know, and what they can't tout, and this is the difference, you know, in the Plus chips, or what they call the Windows chips from AMD. Even though, say, I've got an Intel Pentium 3.0 and an AMD 3000 Plus, granted they're the same speed, true, but the difference being is AMD has added the extra task per cycle.
Right.
So just to pick a number, say the Intel chip is doing 1,000 processes per, say, millisecond. The AMD is doing 1,001. It's that one extra task. The chip is the same speed.
Per millisecond, so by the time you get a second.
So it's doing that one extra task per millisecond. That makes it actually, in essence, faster.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
And one other quick thing.
That's the megahertz wars Apple's been fighting all these years.
Right.
The chips are lower megahertz, but actually perform faster.
Right.
Right. New worm out there. It's going by the name of the W32 Cyber-KMM. It's another mass mailing one. It started out in Germany. They found it. And again, you know, update your antivirus software to keep you out of trouble.
Lots of security problems this week. Online payroll service provider Paymax has closed down their automated W-2 site after they found a couple of security holes that exposed data on more than 25,000 people. Bank of America lost a few records. They say a small number of backup tapes. They have 2.1 million customers, and they only lost 1.2 million of them. So they apparently think that's a small number. It's about half.
About half.
That's about half. Small. Not a big deal. Of course, last week there was ChoicePoint, which announced that they had given away... I don't know if you know about ChoicePoint. ChoicePoint has information on everybody on Earth. If you... They've got you. And they just gave away information on 150,000 people to 50 fake businesses.
Yeah, but these businesses came in and set themselves up.
Yes,
like
they did.
Legitimate businesses doing inquiries on employees.
Yes, they did. On the other hand, however, Senator Chuck Schumer, the great Charles Schumer, fighting Chuck Schumer, has it promised to introduce broad new legislation aimed at curbing identity theft. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This week, online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we get to the phone calls, one last bit of news. You know, Microsoft has this new anti-spyware software, and it's actually very, very good. But are you worried that perhaps it might mess up your hard drive or erase all your digital photos or your music collection or your work files? Well, worry not, because Microsoft has made a legal promise that if there are direct damages from their anti-spyware beta software, they will pay damages to every single user who has them, up to a total of $5 per person.
All right.
$5.
I can finally buy that cup of coffee.
That's American money, which is, of course, falling on the international market.
I can finally buy that cup of coffee.
Wait a minute.
If it was like a pound sterling, it would mean something,
they're,
but it's $5.
All your data is only worth $5.
Well, anything up to your hard drive. I mean, if you lose one, that's 5 songs on iTunes. Don't forget.
Yeah.
If you lose,
how about the time to restore all that?
It doesn't matter. It's $5. If you lose one song, $5. You lose your whole hard drive, $5. $5, $5, $5.
Until
that's somebody else.
Somebody else. Sorry.
Until he starts charging for this service, too.
Yeah.
I mean, right now it's in beta, so it's free.
Right, right.
And the lunch wagon isn't going to last long on this one.
Well, it's a $5 lunch wagon right now. All you can eat, $5. Our first caller is Steve from Henrietta. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. Great show.
Thank you. Is it worth $5?
Ah, sure.
Thanks. What's your question?
This is a question for Steve.
Ah.
I have a Mac, an older laptop, a clamshell, and it's using version 9. And I use it mostly for internet. And I was wondering, I'm just worried a little about virus attacks. Now, I know it's hard to get Virex, and I've heard a lot about Norton. Is there any other antivirus software, or do I have to worry about it?
Generally, you don't have to worry about it on the Mac, although it's a good idea to run an antivirus program so you don't accidentally pass on Windows viruses that you may get in your email. Even though they can't affect your Mac, you could potentially and manually forward a virus back onto a Windows user.
Okay.
There are a couple of smaller companies, I think Panda, there's a Panda antivirus. In general, there aren't many antivirus programs for the Mac because it hasn't been that big an issue on the Mac. And Norton and Virex are the two big ones.
I see.
And pretty much any company for any type of software isn't developing OS 9 software anymore. OS 10 has been out for 5 years now, and they figure everyone should have switched already.
Right, right. Is Norton okay to get for a 9?
I think so. I don't know offhand if they're still releasing updates for OS 9.
Yeah, I see.
Does AVG? I don't know.
I don't think they have a Mac version. There was just one I read last night. There's a new free antivirus coming out for OS 10. Someone pointed it out in the AOL forum.
I have another one is Antivir. ANTIVIR.
Not familiar with that. If you go to one of the Mac download sites like Version Tracker or Mac Update and search for antivirus, you might be able to find some of the smaller companies.
Oh, thank you very much.
No problem.
And Steve, the bad news is, of course, you cannot possibly ever take advantage of that great, generous $5 deal for Microsoft because you can't use their antivirus software. Listen, we're going to take a break for the news. The great Joan Brandenburg is in to do some terrific news stories for y'all. We'll be back on the other side with a lot more Soundbites with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If you're
computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Enright.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites.
Before we go too much farther, I have a little information for Steve, our previous caller. Norton Antivirus, the current version is version 9 for Mac OS X. They are still including version 7 for OS 9, and as of February 25th, they are still updating the antivirus definitions.
And I got to thank Mike from Donuts Delight for the donuts.
Good donuts. Got to say that. Got to say that. Our next caller, Dave from Bloomfield, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hi. I'm trying to play an AVI video file from a USB jump drive. As you can imagine, it's a little bit slow and jerky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if there's a way to fool the computer so that it treats it like streaming video that will allow it to be buffered and smooth it out.
Playing something as streaming media, you try to play it through your browser?
I'm guessing maybe that's an option.
You might try, and I don't know that this would work, but... If you ran it as what's the,
is it USB 1 or USB 2?
2, I think.
Well, then it shouldn't be jerky.
It shouldn't be jerky. It's either the jump drive itself is slow, or you are indeed using USB 1. But I forget what the protocol is, like HTTP:// I think it's RTSP://
Yeah, real-time streaming protocol.
There's a protocol. If you were to do that and then say //
point it to USB.
G:, you know, whatever it is. It certainly can't hurt to try that, but I'm not going to promise it's going to work.
One thing to try, too, is copy it to your hard drive and see if it plays right there. It may not be the jump drive. It may be the file.
True.
Yeah, I've done that, and the hard drive's fine. It jumps a little bit off the CD, but it jumps even more off the USB.
And you might have USB 1.
It's likely you do.
Okay,
well, it might be USB 2 on the computer, but the jump drive is only USB 1.
Well, right, somewhere along the line is only USB 1.
Is buffering used when you're pulling information across the network?
Not much, no.
Okay.
Not like it is for streaming.
Okay.
So try that. It's the best thing we can think of at the moment.
And a lot depends on the server, how it's sending it to you. Some might stream, some might buffer.
Right.
Yep.
Okie doke. Our next caller is Kurt from nowhere. Kurt, where are you calling from?
Pittsburgh.
Okay, what's up?
I am fighting enemy combatants, my computer.
Viruses or spyware?
Neither. My screen is now in pastel rather than in bright colors. I can barely see things. And this happened, I went into some photo editing thing and clicked on something which said gamma, change gamma.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I did it, and I don't know how to undo it.
Can you go back into the control panel and under, or usually most video cards put themselves down into the taskbar. If you click on that, you can set it back to the factory spec. There's usually a restore.
Wait a second. I go on the taskbar or on the in control panel?
It depends on if you've got something in your control panel for that particular video card, or you're going to have to go into the control panel and look for an icon for that video card and see if there's a setting to do factory reset.
Or find that gamma control.
What version of Windows are you running, Kurt?
XP.
Okay. What you want to do is this. You ready?
Yeah.
On the desktop, you right-click and select Properties. Write this down.
Yes, I do. Property.
Mm-hmm. Click the Settings tab.
Setting.
You might find color quality is set low, but you click the Advanced tab.
Advanced.
Click the Adapter tab.
Adapter.
And then click Properties. And that'll bring up your the properties for your video card.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in there, you may be able to do something with that.
You can do a rollback
from the driver tab. Something has changed. If you turn the machine off and then on again, does it fix? Is it doesn't fix
no,
itself?
No, it doesn't do anything.
You might have to install the video driver or video card and have it reinstalled.
It was probably Adobe Photoshop Elements or Photoshop Album to edit the picture.
Yeah.
And Adobe includes a gamma control for adjust. A gamma is the white point, how white the white is. And apparently you set your gamma too low, so the white isn't very white. So you have to go back into that, if you can find it, the Adobe Gamma Wizard, and reset your gamma point.
So that should be under Start, Programs, probably Adobe,
yeah.
And somewhere in there will be the gamma point.
Even settings control panel, there might be an Adobe Gamma as well.
Exactly. We're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
With Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we're talking to Lynn from Edina. Welcome, Lynn. What's your question?
I also am battling enemy combatants.
Dun, 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 dun.
They're at the gate. I can't stop them. Okay, I have Windows XP Home Edition, and it's been very nice to me for a couple years, and then it started having a lot of problems. It kept freezing up on me. I was getting things like DLL, invalid Windows image errors.
Mm-hmm.
So we reinstalled Windows. But I don't know if it was ever uninstalled. Should it have been uninstalled?
Depends. You can either do an upgrade, which assumes you've got an installation on there, or you can do a clean install, which starts fresh and doesn't care whether there was anything on there, just wipes it out.
We did uninstall. We did a reinstall.
Yeah,
okay, so whatever is on there...
It's still on there.
Did it format the hard drive?
Reformat hard drive?
Did it reformat the hard drive when you did this install, or did it just copy itself over itself?
I don't know. Should we could there have been something?
Well, wait a minute. Before
sometimes an upgrade install fixes problems.
But the thing that is, though, now have you danced the tango?
I've been doing the tango all along.
All right, because I've noticed.
So it's just regular Windows corruption.
Right. If you're getting DLL hell, then that's where your problem lies.
Can be. I've run into a couple others that I've had to use CW Shredder and Hijack This to get them out because SpyBot and AdaWare just didn't get them out.
Well, can I tell you what I've got on there now? I've still got some problems on there, and I did a SpyBot update.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran that last night, and it's telling me that there's a DYFUCA.InternetOptimizer on there. You heard of that?
Yeah.
And there's also something called N-KACE. It's on there, too.
All right. What you might want to do is if you go to Start Run and type in MSConfig.
MSConfig?
Yep.
Yeah.
You go to the Startup button. And you'll see a lot of other, you can, well, at least
turn them all
me.
Off, is it
yeah,
easy?
Just uncheck them all for
well,
right
I'm right
now.
Here now, let me.
Well, no, we can't, you know, sit there and walk you through it.
No, just tell me what, okay.
Uncheck them all, and then restart your computer in safe mode.
Yeah.
Run both the SpyBot and AdaWare and see if that fixes your problem.
So I'm going to go to Start, Run, and type in MSConfig.
Yep, mm-hmm. And you go to the Startup tab. And in there, you'll see a bunch of things that are all checked. Uncheck them all for right now because some of that is spyware.
Okay.
Restart in safe mode, run SpyBot and AdaWare and see if that helps your problem.
Okay.
All right?
Hope so.
All right.
Thanks, Lynn. Our next caller, Martha from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Martha. What's your question?
Hello. I've got a Gateway 2000 with a Celeron 950. I have taken it in for to be cleaned up. In general, there were some blue screens and things. That was all cured. But the main problem is that the mouse freezes, and they weren't able to fix that. You can run it for a few minutes and click and do things normally. Then it'll just freeze on the screen regardless of program that you're in.
What operating system?
Windows.
What version?
Yeah.
Millennium Edition.
Yeah! All right, we're moving Dave's microphone now.
Have you tried?
He's not a fan of ME.
Have you tried different mice to see if it's not the mouse itself?
I took the mouse into the shop, and they said that they tested it. It's not the mouse.
Oh.
What often happens is...
It's not a good operating system.
Well, it's not a good operating system. That's true. And they're not updating it anymore, so it is time to move.
And you know what? Most of our listeners have been listening to me lately. Hold on just one second, Martha. But I had six windows come in the shop that I had to fix. And one, I've got to literally... The only thing I can do to fix it for the client is I'm going to have to back up their data and wipe out that OS.
Oh. Wipe out the what?
The operating system. Sometimes that's the only thing. Wipe out Windows and
start over.
In your case, however, Martha, I would start out here. Take a look and see if you don't have multiple... Do you have a modem in this machine?
Yes.
It's possible that the modem and the mouse are on this are using are either on the same port or using the same
interrupt.
They
put in a new modem for me, so the same symptoms have happened with both of them.
Is this a serial mouse or a PS2 mouse?
PS2.
See, then it wouldn't be...
Well, I don't know. It's a USB plug-in thing. I don't actually know what it is in this machine.
All right. No, that's
okay. Well,
those
are the three options, serial, PS2, or USB, depending on the connector and how it fits into the back of the machine.
USB.
Okay, so...
You might want to check your device manager and see if you have more than one mouse listed. And in fact, delete all the mice listed in device manager, restart, and let it redetect the right mouse.
What you want to do is start Windows ME up in safe mode. And the way you accomplish that is restart your machine, start hitting the F8 key as soon as it restarts.
F8?
F8.
Yes.
And what will happen is you'll get a menu. And option 3 is safe mode. So you go into safe mode. Go into the control panel, go under the system icon. You'll see one there, it says system. The very first tab is device manager.
Yes.
You'll see a little plus sign next to the mouse. Click on the plus sign, select the mouse, and say remove. Restart the machine in normal mode, it will refine the mouse and see if that solves your problem.
Okay.
All right.
They told me that I really need a new machine, but I don't know how I would keep my games
No.
Well, all your data can be moved to a new machine, but...
Yeah, but what are you doing with this machine, Martha? Surfing the internet and probably
writing some
letters?
I use the internet. It's my email. I'm very frustrated that I can't read all my email before this thing freezes.
It's something in the operating system, most likely.
Yeah, it's the OS.
Martha, replacing it with XP might help.
Well, yes. Upgrading the operating system would certainly help. But, again, you need to take it possibly to a different dealer and have them take a look at it because it's very clear there's something wrong. But without somebody sitting at the machine and looking at it, this is one of those problems that cannot be solved without that. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Amina Francesco on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
To Max, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Love. Exciting and new.
Okay, no.
Exciting and new.
All right, we're done with that. Friend of mine, when they got married, it was the Love Boat wedding. We sang this song. All the bridesmaids, all the grooms, all the people lined up. We did the whole song. We did a dance. It was very cool.
We had a Star Trek.
About a week ago,
I think. We had a Star Trek wedding, of course, and Captain Picard and Dr. Crusher on top of the cake.
Oh, Lord.
In dress uniform.
Yeah. I remember that.
All righty, then. The Love Boat. Exciting and...
You know what Isaac is doing these days? He's an advice columnist in Maxim Magazine, or FHM Magazine, along with Jenna Jameson.
Okay. Something for everyone. Thank you. Yeah. Next contestant, please. That would be Pat from Arundicoid. Welcome, Pat. What's your question?
Hi. My computer is Windows 98. I upgraded from 95, kind of an old computer.
Mm-hmm.
When I go on the internet, this started Friday night.
Okay.
And usually my Norton virus is... That, so it automatically updates on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And now every place I go, say every 2 or 3 minutes, I get a screen that comes on, and it says, you know, like if you have Word open, and it says a Microsoft Word, where that would be, it says Dickens-1, and then there's a toolbar underneath it that says Auto, and it's got a little down arrow where you can drop down. It only stays on for a few seconds. I tried to close it, and it won't close. until it's ready, which is about 3 or 4 seconds, but it's constantly, every 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes when I'm on the internet, this comes on.
Have you downloaded and installed the Adaware and SpyBot?
I downloaded it this morning, but I haven't installed it yet. As a matter of fact, I downloaded it a couple minutes ago.
You want to get both Adaware and SpyBot.
Adaware?
And SpyBot.
Where do I get Adaware from?
If you go to our website and click on the Security Tango, and on the left-hand side, there's a button that says Let's Dance. Now, once you go to that page, if you scroll down, you can see the areas where you can click on and download both SpyBot and Adaware.
Okay.
And, matter of fact, my wife has a whole procedure. She's up to over 50 folks replying to it. My wife has created a step-by-step procedure on, once you've downloaded it, how to do the routine maintenance.
Okay.
And if you email her at LLYNCH, that's LLYNCH.
N-T as in Tom?
Yes.
No T. There's no T.
No, there's no T.
LLYNCH. L Lynch.
L Lynch.
Oh, okay.
At nwritepc.com, she will email you a copy of this procedure. But because you got to go through, once you install it, you got to do the updates and then run it. And 10 to 1 odds, that's what you've gotten is a bunch of spyware on your machine.
Trying to create a pop under or
pop
up.
And
unfortunately, updating every Friday is no longer often enough.
Daily.
Okay, well, I got it set so it automatically updates then.
Yeah. But download and install and update those two programs.
Okay. I downloaded something last night called StopZilla. I didn't install it, though. Is that something
StopZilla is for pop-ups, and it's excellent. But
I don't have a problem with that.
It's not what's going to fix
your
latest thing here.
So you want to get those spyware, the SpyBot and Adaware. Like I say, you can email my wife, and she'll send you the whole procedure.
And make sure that your Norton is indeed still updating.
Yeah.
Do you know what version your Norton is?
It's 2000.
And when you open it up, there's it says how old your definition files are.
Yes.
What's the date on that?
Hang on, I'm opening it up now. I think it's the 25th.
Of
I'm
this
not
year?
Positive. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you've been renewing it.
Shouldn't be more than a couple of days old.
Oh, no, you mean when do I renew it again?
Yeah.
It's April.
Okay, so you're good.
Okay, that's good all the way around, as long as it's updating, because if you were running an old version of Norton, that would be a problem. But
it sounds like
you're doing everything right, but it sounds like you may have a couple of spyware programs in your system.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is time to dance the entire Security Tango at securitytango.com. Start at the beginning, go right to the end. Email Lori, and she'll send you the updated list. And that
she's even revised that. She added another couple of procedures in there for folks because they were asking about once you run Adaware and that, you know, how about cleaning out the archives?
Okay.
So she's added that stuff in there, how folks can periodically go in and clear out that quarantine. Do again to feedback from one of our
one more quick
listeners.
Question.
We got 1 minute.
I've only got 128 megabytes of RAM. Is that enough to run do the Tango?
Yes, but you should upgrade to 256 if you can.
Well, she's only got Windows 98. It won't take advantage of it. She went from 95.
Oh, right.
Up
she's
to
only
98.
Got 98.
128
so,
is good.
You're good. Listen, we got to take a break. You're going to get the great Joan Brandenburg here to do the news. When we come back, Stephanie Aldersley and Justin Wilcox from the Monroe County Legislature will be here to talk about a very exciting new initiative they've got on the table. We're going to come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, the great Rob Linton, Stephanie Aldersley, Justin Wilcox, me, Nick Christie. We're going to be so full in this studio. I don't think we're going to be packed in here like rats. It's going to be like the stateroom scene from the Marx Brothers, A Night at the Opera. We're going to be in here back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM and a couple of hard-boiled eggs.
To America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Go ahead. Yeah, you speak into the
mic.
Okay. Say your name.
Hello, this is Stephanie Aldersworth.
There you go.
And I'm Rob Lindsay.
And this is Soundbites. We are honored, thrilled, and delighted to welcome Stephanie Aldersley to our show. What's your official title? The Democratic...
I'm the minority leader, the Democratic leader in the county legislature.
I would have said Democratic leader, and so I was pretty close. And you folks, we're very honored and delighted to welcome her to the show today. She's sponsoring. Would that be the proper way? I don't want to get all the terms wrong and get you in trouble with the...
No, that's the right word.
Mom and Dad back in Albany. So. If you're sponsoring a bill in the legislature right now, and tell us about it because it's very exciting.
Well, this is, we call a bill a referral in the county legislature, and this referral is to set up a task force to study the possibility of having municipal wireless broadband, I should emphasize, here in Monroe County. We feel that the municipality could offer low-cost broadband access that would really be a driver in terms of economic development and keeping business and industry here and getting people to come here.
I love this idea. So basically, I pay my X dollars a month, whatever it ends up being. We don't know yet. And
looks like about $15.99.
So I pay my $16 a month, and I get broadband wireless connection wherever I am in Monroe County.
That's correct.
Just set up, open up my laptop, whack, there I am.
You've got it.
Boy, it kind of kills the whole idea of war driving, doesn't
it? Even if you've got an old laptop, there's a card that you can get for about $10 that would make it possible for you to take advantage of this.
Even for your desktop, there's one for $15, $20 to...
That's 15. Correct.
You're done. You're done wherever you are, as long as you're not living in a Faraday cage somewhere. I think this is a great idea. What brought you to bring this up, to make this referral?
Well, I don't know if any of you had a chance to see Now last night on NPR. There was a show about it, but it's been getting a little attention in the media, and my staff drew my attention to this, and they've done it in Chaffta, Minnesota now. They are one giant hotspot. And the municipality is even making a little money on it at $15.99 a month. So we looked at some providers. We looked at some different ways to go. And that gave us a couple of different vendors on the technology end. One is Tropost, and the other one is called Alvarian, I believe. And they are in the process of making Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a municipal broadband wireless provider right now.
Yeah, we reported on that a few weeks ago, that a lot of the lobbyists and the telephone companies are trying to kill the government-sponsored wireless initiative because they wanted to charge more themselves.
That's true, and I believe you're going to see that happening across the country. In Pennsylvania, legislation to that effect actually did pass with Philadelphia held harmless. They can go ahead with their project.
They grandfathered in.
Yeah. In Indiana, just last week, February 16th, I believe, their legislature turned down similar legislation that would prevent a municipality from providing wireless broadband.
So right now it's Colorado and New Hampshire, Florida, is it Florida? No. I got it right here. Duh. Colorado, Iowa, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Ohio, Oregon, and Texas are pending.
Okay.
Our pending legislation right now. Florida and Illinois are considering it.
And you know, there's a research organization that has been providing information to legislatures in support of this legislation that would prevent municipalities from providing wireless broadband. They're called the New Millennium Research Council, NMRC. And it turns out that they are an arm of a lobbying firm called Issue Dynamics, whose clients are Ameritech, Bell South, Comcast, Pacific Bell, SBC Communications, Quest, Sprint, U.S. West, Verizon, Verizon Wireless.
What are the odds?
And, well, you know, I think it's misguided on the part of these companies because they could be the provider in a municipal broadband situation of what's called the backhaul.
Right.
And so maybe they should look at that business angle instead of trying to prevent municipalities from doing what they need to do.
Well, and in terms of Monroe County, I mean, what made us a hub in the 1800s was infrastructure. We had water, we had rail. In the 1900s, we had infrastructure. We had water, rail, and manufacturing, water, power, electricity. For the 21st century, we need an infrastructure.
It's got to be technological infrastructure, no question about it. And I know that when Hillary Clinton, for instance, came to speak to the incubator out at RIT,
right,
the business and manufacturing incubator, the first thing those guys asked about was the incredible cost of broadband access. And I know it's come down a little, but they were getting a deal at the incubator, but looking at the cost of what it was going to be when they left the incubator, when they became successful, and it really was an intimidating kind of a cost. So I think anything a municipality can do to make it clear to anybody who wants to come here to do business and provide jobs is to have this infrastructure where you can go and you can sit with your laptop any place and at a very low cost. You know, $15.99 a month for,
right.
And that's a great cost for a residential user too. I mean,
it's a great cost across the board.
It's a quality of life issue for middle class people who want to sit in their backyard with their laptop. It's also a wonderful solution to what we're calling the digital divide that keeps people perhaps of lower income or who live in lower income neighborhoods from having access to full access, rapid access to the web, to the internet, to a job search, for instance. And so if you knew you could set up a little community center with a few computers and you're going to have wireless broadband access and anybody in the neighborhood can come in there and use that, that I think,
okay,
you know.
Yeah. And a lot of people now paying $9.99 a month for dial-up may feel they can't afford an extra $20 a month to get a broadband connection, but may be able to afford an extra $6 a month.
I think you're right. I really do. I have dial-up myself, and at $15.99, I would make the switch.
Sure,
no question about it.
Now, is there a website, some sort of place that we... Because how do we, not just Soundbites, but all our listeners as well, how do we help support this?
We have put up a little website.
And if there are any there out there who are thinking they don't want to support this, shame on you.
Thank you. It's www.MonroeCountyWiFi.com.
Excellent.
That's the website.
And we'll have that up on our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis.
Wonderful.
Would like us to remind
Wonderful.
You. That's great. I'm very excited about this.
Did you get on? I'm a little worried about whether it's .org or .com.
It's not on yet.
Not on yet.
Well, we'll get there.
It's .com. It's .com.
There we go.
Justin is signaling.
Yes, it is. It's .com.
Yep, it's coming up now. Yep.
It's a great site. So this and this will tell us everything we need to know about how to make contact with our legislators and well, explain that we're supporting.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Justin's out there nodding
up.
His head. Don't come in or anything because we don't want you in here.
Come in, Justin.
Come on in, for heaven's sake. Come in.
There's a delay.
How hard is that?
Yeah.
How come he could?
So when is this all going to happen? You were saying something's coming up to a vote?
Well, we do have a committee vote tomorrow on whether to set up this task force. And actually, I would be happy to see the motion tabled for a month so that we can get all our legislators fully briefed on this so they could make a good decision on it. We did have a representative from Tropos come in and talk to us about the technology and a lot of the costs. And there are a bunch of issues. I mean, you could have an entirely public system. You could have a public system with corporate sponsors. You could have a public system but with some leases to ISPs, internet service providers. We could have public subscription where we charge the $15.99 a month. Or we could have a hybrid. From what I understand, very often these things are set up with pilot projects. I know the town of Brighton is interested right now, so is the city of Rochester. So you know, that's what a task force needs to look at, and I think that that's...
Build more interest.
That will build more interest, and that's what we have to get our legislators up to speed on.
Right.
So if it takes another month for people to become comfortable with this and understand, first of all, how cost-effective it is, and second of all, how cutting-edge it is, so that if we can get 2 or 3 years jump on other municipalities and do this, we can be ahead of the game, and there's no reason to wait. The technology is there, the costs are down already, and why not do this for our community? It really, I believe, would bring jobs. It would, a lot of the young people who go to the U of R and RIT, Fisher, Nazareth, and then they're leaving for other areas for jobs. They don't see us as a cutting-edge community. And, you know, how great it would be to have this in place as one of the things that makes these young people feel like this is the place to be.
Yeah.
So what we need to do as an audience, the Soundbites mm-hmm. audience, we need to go to the Monroe County Legislature website at monroecounty.gov, click on Contact Us, and send them an email saying we think this is a great idea.
Anybody in specific? Anybody in specific that we should be...
Well, I think my good friend Mark Affini is the chair of the committee that will be reviewing this tomorrow.
Oh, I know. Dear old Mark, I have to give him a call.
Uh-oh, Mark. Seriously, if you're listening, hide.
No, I know him from back in my day. He used to work for my wife at Kodak.
There you go.
And I knew him way back when he was just starting to get into politics.
Well, I know he cares about economic development, so this should be something that he would take
will
an interest
be hunting
in.
Do we know how fast this connection will be if it comes through?
Well, you know, that would be one of the parameters of the task force. We'd have to set a timeline as to when they would report back.
Right.
And, you know, that's something we'll have to go through in... With the referral we've put forward doesn't have a date. I wanted to make it as flexible as possible so that people would be comfortable jumping on.
Because we're going to start getting calls. Is it up yet? What's the address? How do I get? How do I get? Because that's the way our people are. They're going to be. And what will be the speed of the connection, by the way? Do we know? Yeah, it will be 11 megabits, 10 megabits, something along that line. 11 meg.
Seeing a head nod. Yeah.
Justin is saying 11 meg, so we'll hold him to it. There he is.
All right.
Justin Wilcox, if you have a problem, call him.
Oh, dear.
So this is great. So tomorrow it comes up in front of the legislature.
That's correct. I believe the meeting's at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at 39 West Main. So if anybody wants to come in and speak to the committee,
that was a mistake.
Great too.
You're going to get them. They'll be there.
That's wonderful.
That's great.
That's exactly what we're looking
for. That's great. That's excellent. So anybody who's interested, go down and show your support in person.
Probably.
If you can't be there in person, then send an email. Like I said, there's a form at monroecounty.gov in the Contact Us area, and you'll be able to join in your support for this. Stephanie Aldersley, Justin Wilcox, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming
here.
This was great. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, on the Cutting Edge Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
When you wake up,
and you knew where you were.
Right, wait a minute. Know where we are now.
I better do this.
And I found a great... There's the real music. I found a great website for TV show theme lyrics.
I was going to play it.
Soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Suddenly we're getting all official. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Say it.
I'm Rob Lincoln.
Okay, we're apparently having way more fun than you are on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. We're going to go back to the phones in a little while, but first, I want to once again thank Susan Aldersley and Justin Wilcox who came here, and Steve, you pried a bit more information out of them.
One of the biggest questions I'm expecting at this public forum is there any tax money involved? You know, are the Monroe County taxpayers going to have to foot the bill for this? And apparently it's no. It's self-funding, 15 bucks a month, pays for itself, and we'll let the county, around $15, $16 a month, we'll let the county even make a little money on it.
Yeah, because what was she saying, that other county in Minnesota, was it? was actually turning a little bit of a profit. Not a huge one, but at least it's keeping paying for in itself. And, you know, if you can stuff a little money aside for maintenance and that type of stuff for, you know, future upgrades and everything else.
Exactly.
Nothing wrong with that. And it doesn't have to come out of anybody's pocket with another tax or whatever. Or
well, that's the big part.
Loan.
It's very exciting. It's very exciting. Before we go any farther, we're going to talk about our website, soundbites.org. As I said earlier, that's bites with a Y. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about Linux. 374 of you voted, making it number 47 in the all-time hit list. Thank you. It was about Linux, and 34% of you are getting interested. 32% of you couldn't care less. That just about sums it up. 14% of you have played with it, 12% use it every day, and 8% are going to try to use it more. We really appreciate it when you folks vote in the polls. We thank you all. This week's poll is about podcasting. Now, what is podcasting? Basically, podcasting is when someone takes an audio file, generally an MP3, and makes it available on the web in a special way that certain programs can automatically download it and stick it on an iPod so that you can then wander around and listen to it at your leisure. It's basically like digital video recording, time shifting for audio.
And a little easier than manually downloading it and manually copying it.
And easier than doing that. And I've had several people over the last year or so ask me about podcasting. Soundbites, and I always thought, you know what, you can download it, you can install it, where's the problem? But finally a gentleman called me last week, William, I'm not going to mention your name.
Bob Lonsberg?
No.
He's got an iPod.
He's got an iPod now. Emailed me and
did you hear the music Bob put on his iPod?
No.
But one of his segments he was talking about, he just bought this great 21st century device and he's putting Glenn Miller on it. Peter, Paul, and Mary, 40-year-old music.
I listen old-time radio, 70-year-old shows. But he argued in such a way that it suddenly made me realize there are a lot of people who don't download, aren't familiar with it, don't know how to move things over to their iPods, but know how to podcast. They've downloaded programs like iPodder and things like that, and it happens automatically for them, and so we should provide that. So I put up a podcast feed at the archive server, which you can get to from our server at soundbites.org or go directly to sbarch.cob.rit.edu. And you can actually get a podcast download now. Over the next couple weeks, as it matures a little more, I'll then put it up in the various podcasting sites, and so we'll get a little more attention and a little exposure. But the choices this week for podcasting, the podcasting poll are, I do it all the time, yawn, interesting, I'll try it, and I have no iPod, you insensitive clod. So far, of course, 74% of you have no iPod. Steve would be happy to help you with that, by the way.
Yeah.
At new low prices.
At new low
and
prices.
New colors.
Right. New colors, right. Yeah.
So exactly 100 votes at this moment. So if you have an iPod and you're interested in catching the show either a second time or for the first time through your iPod, now you'll be able to do that. I'm hoping over the next few weeks
should
to
also
see what
point
sort
out,
of hits we get.
Should also point out that the iPod runs under Windows almost just as well as it runs on a Mac.
And yep.
In fact, one of the jokes is that iTunes for Windows is the best Windows program ever written.
But yeah, so that's
and
a
pretty... there's people working on Linux versions, too.
Oh, that would be nice. But right now I am running it under Windows, and it's pretty nice. We're actually having a nice time with it. So... If you have an iPod and you're interested in catching sound bites on the iPod, check out some of the pod sites like iPodder.org and places like that where you can download an auto feeder. It'll grant you set it up with whatever sites you want, including of course Soundbite.
iPodLounge.com is probably one of the biggest ones for all iPod gadgets.
Right, and you can go and then every day or week or whatever. Whenever you tell it to, it'll go and look at all its feeds and download the latest of everything and put
it
on
the
iPod.
Business section, if folks want to learn more about this, in today's Sunday paper on the business section, they've got a number of the iPod sites, and they give a little more information about iPodding in there.
Very nice. It's very nice. It's a very cool thing. I listen to my iPod all the time, and
Well, you can put books on it, right?
I put books right, on an old-time radio. That's really what I listen to.
It doesn't have to be music. It's any audio file.
Right. I actually rarely listen to music. I'm always listening to books and old-time radio.
And
in fact, that's why I have a 20-gig iPod. A shuffle wouldn't be good for that. All of a sudden, I'd be getting chapters in whatever order they came out. But anything above a shuffle really would work.
Could make for interesting reading. Give you the end and then start with the middle and then go back to the beginning.
It's like a chess game. Where am I in this book?
The shuffle does play in order as well as random shuffle.
Right. I know that.
Yeah.
So check it out. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. We're going to go back to the phones now. We're going to talk to Dan from Rochester, New York. What did I forget? Do you know I did? Thank you very much. I got so excited about podcasting.
He's multitasking.
He's multitasking. I'm very impressed with him. Once you have put in your poll, then underneath it you'll see a little yellow box which will lead you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Oh, that's why. Oh, that's the reason you wanted me to remember. Oh, now I get it. All righty. Where you can enter an opinion, and we've already got 23 people who've entered opinions, some of which actually have something to do with podcasting, so that's kind of nice.
That was good.
Once you're done with that, come on back and join us in the polls and all the good places that the coolest people on Earth.
What was your website again?
Together. Never mind. It's AskNick.com, and our next caller is Dan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I recently bought a media center.
Yes.
And I can't connect to
DSL. From who?
I can't connect to my DSL. I have a Frontier DSL.
Okay.
I've had Frontier Techs over here. I've spent countless hours on the phone with Hewlett-Packard Techs, and I can't get it to go online.
Are you trying through the USB port?
Both. I've tried both, the USB and the Ethernet.
All right. Do they say that you're getting an IP address to your machine?
I'm getting an invalid IP address, 169.
All right, so that you're running Windows XP?
Yes, sir, Media Center.
Okay. DSL, you said?
Yes, sir, DSL.
Okay, so DSL is said up to your house and up to this connection, it's good.
Yes, I have my laptop, my old crappy laptop that's been, it's 6 years old, that has a USB connection.
All right, one thing you might want to try.
Takes right off.
Right. Since you got the old machine there, you can go on the web and download, and we've got it on our website. It's called WinIP Fix.
A WinSock Fix?
Yeah.
Yeah, we tried that. That doesn't work either.
The repair didn't do it?
No, sir.
Well, that's interesting.
Media software, though, is relatively so new.
I've got HP sending me out a new machine. But
it shouldn't be that. What it sounds to me like is somebody. Have you? I'm sure they've done this, but have you checked to see that you are in fact doing a DHCP, getting a dynamic address, as opposed to somebody put one in and it's static?
Well, I go to the command prompt, and I try to renew my IP config.
Release right. And renew?
And it session times out. It's unable to connect with the DHCP.
You're getting 169er.
Right. That's why. If you go to your control panel
and
open up network connections and open up your local area connection and look at the properties, you should see a choice for Internet Control TCP IP. And then you click the properties button, and you have multiple choices, one of which is to obtain an IP address automatically.
Right.
You want that one checked.
Right. That's what it's done.
And obtain DNS server address automatically?
Yep.
Is that toggled?
That I don't know.
Make sure it is, because if the DNS is not set right, you don't get the right address.
Okay. Now
then click advanced. Under IP settings, DHCP should be enabled.
Okay.
Under the DNS tab, you shouldn't see anything because it's going to get those automatically. Under WINS, you should not see anything.
All right. Can we back up a little bit?
Yep.
Okay. I'm sorry. At my local area connection, you want me to right-click that or what?
No, we're not going to do it online. Write this down.
Listen to the tape show later.
So once you open up your control panel,
okay,
and you click on network connections.
Right.
And then on whatever your local connection is.
Okay.
Right? And you see the list. There's connections use the following items, and one of those items will be Internet Protocol.
Okay.
Select that and click Properties.
Okay.
You'll see two tabs, the general and alternate configuration.
Okay.
The general configuration is obtain IP address automatically and obtain DNS server address automatically.
It should both be toggled.
Right.
All
At
right.
the bottom, there's an advanced button.
Okay.
On the IP settings, it should say DHCP enabled. DNS should be empty. Or I suppose you could put in the DNS of Frontier.
Yeah.
That would work too, but since you said get it automatically, you shouldn't have anything in there, and WINS should also be empty.
Maybe because he's got the media version, he might have to force it.
Now, also on that first page, where it says General, there's also an alternate tab.
Okay.
That one says automatic private IP address or user configured. Make sure it's set to automatic.
Okay.
And those are the things to check, and... For anything else, again, you're going to have to go back.
What type of router do you have with this system?
The one that comes from Frontier, the SpeedStream.
Yeah, but you said you... is it wireless?
No, it's not wireless. It's not a router. It's
so
just
you're connected right into the DSL
to
box.
The modem, correct, yes.
So you don't even go through a router.
Right.
Right.
Start with that and let us know what happens.
Okay.
Sorry.
I was wondering how
you're
running two machines.
You probably plugged and unplugged.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm wondering whether it could mess it up.
Yeah, oftentimes this is general for anyone. If you're not running a LAN router to share between two computers, when you switch computers on your Roadrunner or DSL router, you often have to turn off and turn the router back on again so it will pass out a new address to now the new computer. Because generally you only get one address from
yeah,
Time Warner.
Right,
or
that
Frontier.
May be the problem right there. That might
I
be
mean
it.
If you've got two machines, you can pick up a hub router. For $60,
right?
Yeah, if you want to share multiple machines, then you need what's called a LAN router to split.
And again, when you plug that in, you have to reboot to get it.
And that's a common issue, bigger in the summer with power failures. But you have to turn things back on in the right order. The cable or DSL router has to be turned on first and ready. So wait 30 seconds or so. Then your LAN router has to be turned on and ready. Wait another 30 seconds or so.
Then you
turn
your
computer.
On.
Yeah.
And if you have a server on your network, turn that one on first.
Right.
And let it get up and running before you turn the others on. Our next caller, Al from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Al. What's your question?
Okay, my question is I've got to update, soon I got to update my antivirus software. I bought Norton SystemWorks Premier, but I really only am planning on using like the Norton antivirus and maybe the Ghost on that package. Do they allow me to just go in and do take off the things I want to?
No, SystemWorks will install the whole package.
Okay.
No custom install option?
Nope. They figure you
and really,
want it
all. And
we're
kind of discouraging SystemWorks these days.
It's a great utility to have and run from the CD, but installing the whole package just puts so much overhead on the computer.
I still like McAfee. I'm still a fan of McAfee. You know, you can put that on. I don't have problems.
McAfee 8, though, you better have a dang fast machine.
Yeah. Well, 9's out now.
I meant 9.
But with McAfee, though, I mean, I can install that and it runs. Whereas Norton, we've seen starting with version 2003, 4, and now 5, when you go to install it, you've got to do at least 5 different updates. You got to go first, check for any updates, it downloads it, reboot the machine. Go back in, reboot, check for updates. You usually have to do this 4 to 5 times before it finally says
keep doing
no
it until
more.
It says no more updates. Yeah.
And then the program will work correctly. So, I'm not a very big fan of it. And yes, you won't be given the option to just install the antivirus software.
Well, I'd be able to get rid of the, the other things so that I only have the antivirus software?
No, it's an all-or-nothing
Bundle
proposition,
deal.
I'm afraid. We have to take another break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
The only network dedicated to drama.
It's under arrest.
TV dramas. Where do you think they get their ideas from?
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Back to the phones.
Actually, for our previous caller, it looks like that Norton SystemWorks 2005 now does have a custom install option. So you can choose what pieces to install.
So that previous caller, when you are doing the install, kind of go through it slowly. And
select a custom install, not the standard install.
Install now versus custom.
Yeah, and try going through that, and that's finally a feature they put back in that they've taken out of the previous two.
All right.
So our general recommendation is to install Norton Antivirus, but don't install
Leave the rest of the stuff. Yeah.
Run that off the CD.
If and when you need it.
Yeah, utilities, grab them when you want them.
Exactly. Our next caller, Paul from Chi-Lai, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
How you doing? Okay, I'm running a Gateway Pentium 3 733 processor, 512K RAM. Mm-hmm. I run Adaware and SpyBot religiously, Symantec, I defrag, and virus check every night. Running Zone Alarm. Okay, having said that, all of a sudden yesterday, my internet connection, I'm using Roadrunner. I'm getting that my TCP IP is not installed. I'm checking it. I checked it when you were talking with the last caller, checking the properties, kind of going through it. It says it's in there. Computer's not recognizing it. I'm getting an error on Symantec that the email screening needs attention. Windows is loading slow. Did I get slimed? The remote access connection manager is bad, and the DHCP client is starting, but it's not started.
One of a couple of things. Either you're actually having a physical problem with some component like your network card or your cable is unplugged or your router.
All the connections have been checked.
Well, okay. But
what address are you getting?
It's some sort of
power. No address at all.
Right. Yeah. Or do you have XP?
Yes.
Did you recently update?
I have automatic updates, so it may have happened, and I have to do that manual.
Check in the control panel and see if the Microsoft firewall is on and set to high. You can, in fact, set the firewall setting so high that it doesn't let you go down the internet at all. And I don't know why, but sometimes that happens. We haven't tracked down how or why yet, but it actually does apparently happen. So I would check that.
It says the firewall settings cannot be displayed because the associated service is not running.
The
internet connection ICS service.
All right.
They asked me if I want to start that.
Then it isn't that. And now, have you checked in your device manager?
Yeah. Like I said, is the network connector, the device manager. I don't see the TCP IP there, but as I go in and check the internet connection, it's there.
Hmm.
I wonder if I got slime. I don't know.
You wouldn't see TCP in the device manager
religiously.
Protocol.
Right. It's unlikely you got slime because there's no virus that takes you off the net because the whole point is to keep you on the net so they can steal your connection.
And the thing of it is you're probably, and that, most folks, we can't get them to do it enough, but defragging and running ScanDisk every day is overkill for Windows XP.
And it may, in fact, wear out your hard drive.
Yeah,
faster.
Once a month is more than enough unless you're moving one heck of a lot of software in and out of that machine. Scanning and defragging is really not necessary because it's using NTFS FAT, which is a far more efficient system than the old FAT32.
Paul, I'm afraid the only thing I can suggest at this point is to get it to a reputable dealer. This is one of those things that I suspect is going to be really simple, but somebody's got to have an eyeball on the screen to see it.
Yeah.
Okay, can I go off the air or something and have you guys give me one of the shops I can take it to one of you guys?
Yeah, well, you can give my shop a call on Monday morning. That's Enright PC at 442-4843. We're at 70 Empire Boulevard. just a half a mile up the road from Dan's Crafts.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Our next caller is Jim from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Yes, I was wondering if it's possible for things to appear in the recycle bin if I've never deleted anything. I looked at, I clicked on, I noticed that there were like 9 things in the recycle bin, and when I click on them, they are, the origin are all the same. They are VMGR2E04.TMPs. And they're,
VR, what is it again, VR?
They are VMGR2E04.TMP. They were all created at the very same time, and then 2 minutes later, they were deleted. Nobody was on the machine while those, while during those times. We were both working, my wife and I, and the kids were not on the computer. And it happened this Wednesday, in early morning.
It's a temp file of some sort, and temp files
temp
are frequently
files.
Created and deleted automatically by programs you run.
Okay. Is it strange for something to appear in the recycle bin when I haven't deleted anything?
Not always. Like okay. like Steve said, a virus wouldn't put anything in the recycle bin.
Spyware will.
Spyware might, but
This is weird. VMGR-234 is the Marine Aerial Refueling Transport Squadron. Do you have any military, slideshows or history things on your computer?
No.
Right. My suggestion is definitely run the Security Tango and see if that picks up anything. But other than that, I wouldn't worry about it because software creates and throws away temp files all the time. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Rush, your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Holy cow, we're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Our next caller is John from Rush, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
My question is about Norton and McAfee antivirus programs.
Mm-hmm.
Is one actually better than the other or more powerful than the other?
They both do the same job, but I think Nick and I both agree. We both like McAfee better. In the day-to-day operations, I've seen, in fact, I had a client just yesterday, had Norton on there, had it updated, but I took his hard drive out, put it on my test bench that was running McAfee, and it found 2 viruses that Norton knew were there but couldn't deal with them, even though I had the updated DAT files. And according to Symantec's website, it should be able to handle it. It didn't, but McAfee did.
One thing we've seen is that Symantec is almost trying to do too much with their utilities and your maintenance and your antivirus and security and internet stuff, which is a good thing and a bad thing. You know, if they do it well, then it's a good thing. But we've seen some issues trying to have Symantec do too much at once.
Yeah, in our short answer, McAfee.
Okay, because I'm running 8.0, and it seems to be doing a fine job, but when you go to the different stores, one person will tell you that Norton's better, and another one will say McAfee's better.
Ask 3 people, get 4 answers.
Opinions are like belly buttons. Everyone has them.
Belly buttons. Okay, thanks,
thank you very
John.
Much.
Appreciate your call. Our next caller is Bill from Webster, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Hey. You had a guy on just recently with a media machine problems. I've also got an HP media machine. And I'll tell you, it's a brand new machine. I was very proud to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy when I first opened it up.
Yeah.
Ever since then, I've been battling. And I'm really ticked.
Yeah.
Media software is so new. It's literally cutting edge.
I have every 1 chance in 3 of opening up normally when I open a machine every time.
Wow.
Yeah, it always... Not always. It frequently opens up with a screen that says start normally.
Mm-hmm.
I have to click on that.
Which means it didn't shut
down
normally.
Which did not start normally, because otherwise I wouldn't see that screen.
Oh, right, exactly.
A good way of getting around that is once you can get into it, go to start, go to run, type msconfig.
Just a second. Let me write this down.
Yep. Go to start, go to run.
Yeah, you guys are faster than I can write. Just a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm going to config, right? MSConfig.
Yep. MSConfig. On the very first one, there's an advanced button. Click on that.
Advanced button.
And there's disable scan after bad shutdown.
At least so that'll get rid of that. But
it won't stop why it's not shutting down wrong, but it won't
right,
go through
right.
that
this
mess.
This is a whole new operating system. Again, it's almost getting close to ME. I hate to say it, that it's really not that well tested. And I've got another client, same issue. Dell is selling these media software, and there's not a lot out there for it.
Right.
And people are having problems, one, getting to work with a different peripheral.
It's the bleeding edge. So close to the cutting edge, you're on it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can tell the
Pioneers. You're over it.
Yeah.
By the Pioneers are the guys.
With the arrows in their backs, absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, we are done for another week. I want to thank each and every one of you who called in. We
personally
were delighted
and individually.
To talk to you. Exactly. Line up in height order. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not call. I especially want to thank Stephanie Aldersley and Justin Wilcox for coming in and telling us about the exciting initiative for Monroe County Wi-Fi. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco, and we will be back here next week on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Marriages can have peaks and valleys. Is your relationship in one of those valleys right now? Call her and tell her you're bringing home Tom Wall's Takeout for dinner. All day long, she won't be thinking about juicy Wall burgers, crispy fries, or ice-cold Tom Wall's root beer. She'll be thinking about you all day long.
Share the good times. Share the good times. Tom Wall.
Celebrating our 50th anniversary.
Launched from a single office in 1986, Peter Parts Electronics has grown into a worldwide leader in the electronics industry. Here's Peter Parts with a thought that might make a difference.
Hi, this is Peter, and here are a few great thoughts on persistence.